Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is the message I started last week. Lord willing, I will take the time to review and then, of course, pick up where we left off. The title of the message is Ignorant Professors. Ignorant Professors. Notice Hebrews chapter 3, beginning there with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now I call your attention to verse 10. Because that is the verse that I've been considering, and I've been offering things for your consideration. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So ignorant professors abound. They were not only prevalent in the Old Testament, they were prevalent in the New Testament. And I might add that they really and truly abound in our day and time as well. Ignorant professors are those who profess to know God, but in reality, they do not know Him or His ways. The Apostle Paul described them in Titus 1 and verse 16 when he said this, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient under every good work reprobate. So he said, they profess that they know Him, but in their works, that is, in their lives, in their actions, in their conducts, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. And how can it be otherwise if one is ignorant of God and His ways? And I pointed out last week, to be ignorant of the ways of God is to be ignorant of His person, since it is His ways that reveal who He is. I also pointed out in the introduction last week how that our ways and our thoughts are vastly different from God's ways and God's thoughts. You remember that passage in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 where God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So since God's ways and God's thoughts are infinitely higher than ours, that means if we learn to think His thoughts and act in His ways, we have to change our thoughts and change our ways. So if we really wish to please Him and honor Him, that's exactly what we're going to do. So last week, offered only 2 points for your consideration. The first one was this. You have to consider that God commands us to walk in His ways. I took you through a number of passages. And the amazing thing is, as you looked at those passages, you found out what God's ways really are. In fact, each of those passages said that walking God's ways amounted to fearing Him, obeying Him, cleaving unto Him, loving Him, and walking in His commandments. So God commands us to walk in His ways. And as you do that, you fear Him, you love Him, you cleave unto Him, and you obey His commandments. The second thing that I pointed out last week was simply this. We have to consider the fact that not walking in His ways is wickedness. In other words, it is sin when we do not walk in His ways. 1 John 3 and verse 4 describes and identifies sin for us. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, the Word of God says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. If you learn that verse, if you memorize that verse, you will understand what sin is. Sin is a violation of God's law. I get emails all the time from people asking me, is such and such sin? Is such and such wrong? And, you know, I will answer and I will say something. It may be unwise to do some of those things, and it may be, unethical in one sense of the word, but is it a violation of God's law? If it's not a violation of God's law, it's not sin. It may be unwise, and you may not do it. What did Paul say? Paul said, all things are not always expedient. In other words, there's some things you just shouldn't do because it's not expedient to do them. It's not necessary that they're sin. But sin is a violation of God's law. So sin is a refusal then to walk in God's ways. It is a transgression from His commands. So when one turns from the ways of the Lord, it is only then so that he may turn to his own ways. So let me spell it out for you. Essentially, turning to your own ways is turning from the Lord, and it is idolatry, because you're elevating yourself above God. Now, if you look in verse 10, he said this, and I want you to note. He said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. One of the applications that I made last week was that we grieve the heart of God by disobeying His commandments. He said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So how do we err in our heart? How do we go astray? Because we do not know God's ways. We're ignorant of them. And consequently, we always go astray when we do not obey the way that the Lord has laid out for us. Now, our ways are ways of ignorance and wickedness. David said, and I quoted this verse last week in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 22. He said, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. So unless we are keeping the ways of the Lord, we are wickedly departing from our God. So I ended the message last week with a number of application. And today I want to pick up basically where we left off and to continue to demonstrate how we err in our heart and the consequences of our actions as well. So the third point today is this. The third thing for your consideration is you need to consider that to depart from the ways of the Lord brings judgment and destruction. Now, I read to you last week exactly what happened to these people. If you'll notice verse 11, he just simply says this, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Skip down to verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So obviously, a refusal to walk in the ways of God brings judgment and destruction. It is true that men rebel against God. It is true that men often refuse to walk in the ways of God. But there are consequences for doing so. And no one can escape the consequences of his actions. I want you to hold Hebrews chapter 3, but look in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll look at a number of passages today, but look in Jeremiah chapter 23, and let's begin reading there with verse 9. Jeremiah 23 and verse 9. I want you to note, if you would, for sure that no one can escape the consequences of his actions. Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning there with verse 9. Jeremiah says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Now watch, all my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. In other words, Jeremiah says, I know what is coming down. I know what is going to happen. Watch verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Now I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied and bailed and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now, I want you to note how God is saying, I'm going to judge these people. I'm going to destroy them. They're Sodom and Gomorrah to me. Now, look, if you would, carefully at verse 12. Notice what God says. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of visitation, saith the Lord. Now, if you follow the reading of this passage, you will notice that everyone is profane, not just the people, but the prophets and the priests as well. They were all corrupt. They were all transgressors of God's ways. And so in verse 12, God pronounces his judgment upon them. Watch verse 12 again. Wherefore their way. Stop right there. What way? The way that they chose when they departed from God's ways. Your way is however you're living. So he says, their way, in verse 12, shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. Now, interestingly, slippery places are bad. However, if you see a slippery place, you may be able to negotiate your way around it. All of us have slid down. I remember years ago, I was preaching in Indiana. Alice and I were staying in a home on the second floor. I was coming down the stairwell in my socks. And the last thing I remembered seeing was my feet pointing toward the ceiling as I hit that stair right in the middle of my back and just slid all the way down. And I had a hematoma on my back for the longest, and Alice had to drain it for several weeks. I'm just simply saying, I saw it, but I was unable to avoid it. But one thing for sure is this. If you have a slippery place and it's dark, you cannot see it and you cannot avoid it. And if you look back at verse 12, look what God says. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in darkness. And then he says, they shall be driven on and fall therein. In other words, they will not be able to see the danger. They will not be able to avert the danger. They'll not be able to escape the danger. God said they shall be driven on and fall therein. Anytime our ways contradicts God's ways, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. If you will turn in your Bibles, holding Hebrews 3, but go in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look what God says about the wicked here. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35. Deuteronomy 32, and look particularly at verse 35. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. Look what God says. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Now he's talking about the wicked, so notice. He says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Notice, their foot shall slide in due time. Any time our ways are contrary to God's ways, it's only a matter of time till we fall, until his judgment catches up with us. You remember that passage in Psalm 73, it's written by Asaph. And Asaph was talking about how envious he was at the wicked when he saw all their riches and everything that happened to them. And he said, they were not in trouble as other men are. And here he was, he said, in vain have I washed my hands in innocency. In other words, I'm suffering and the wicked are hating God and they're prospering. And then he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the house of God. And then, he said, I observed And in verse 18, he says this, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction." Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. In other words, Asaph is saying exactly the same thing. It's only a matter of time until they slide down and destroy themselves. Now, I want you to remember something. This truth applies equally and applicably to individuals, to families, to churches, societies, and nations. And I want you to see, when we choose our own ways instead of God's ways, how we bring judgment upon ourselves. So, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's begin there. We're going to go to several passages. We'll look in Jeremiah chapter 17, and notice verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. You remember also the scripture tells us that we have to consider our ways. So it'd be a wise thing to do to consider our ways. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, the scripture says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Did you notice that? God said, "I'm going to give to everyone according to his ways." Look, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 11. Jeremiah 18, verse 11. "Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." God said, "Listen, your ways are contrary to mine. I'm devising evil against you. Your foot is going to slide." Look in the book of Ezekiel. Turn right on over to the book of Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 4. Ezekiel 7 and verse 4. These prophets belted out the warnings, and yet no one listened. In Ezekiel chapter 7, notice verse 4. God says that mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I'll recompense your ways upon you. Skip down to verse 9. And mine eye shall not pity, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Look, if you would, please, to chapter 14 and verse 23. Ezekiel 14, verse 23. Again, he says this, "And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have done it, and that I have not done without cause all that I've done in it, saith the Lord." God said, "You'll know. When you consider their ways and you see what has happened, you'll figure it out." Look in the book of Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 21. Chapter 20 and verse 21. Again, he says it like this. Chapter 20, verse 21. "Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and I said, I will pour out my fury upon them, to accomplish mine anger against them in the wilderness." Wow. Isn't that amazing? Look, if you would. That was chapter 20. Look in chapter 24 and verse 14. Ezekiel 24 and verse 14. Boy, you're talking about a statement. "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God." Wow. Let me just quote Hosea chapter 12 and verse 2. He said it like this, "The Lord hath a controversy with Judah and will also punish Jacob according to his ways, and according to his doings will he recompense him." Wow. I want you to turn to the book of Zechariah. A little minor prophet, Zechariah, Malachi. Right before you get to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, you see Zechariah. And I want you to look in Zechariah chapter 1 and look at verse 4. And then we're going to go to verse 6. Watch. Zechariah 1, verse 4. Well, what a statement. I preached on this passage years ago on Father's Day. And look what he says. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn you now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Now watch verse 5. And your fathers, where are they? The answer is they're dead. And the prophets, do they live forever? No. But watch verse 6. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. And they said, we couldn't get away with it. We could not escape from God or his words. What God said ultimately caught up with us. So no individual, no family, no church, no society, no nation can escape the consequences of refusing to walk in the ways of the Lord. Stubbornness and disobedience and rebellion only bring the judgment of God. And God made this point exceedingly plain in Jeremiah 11, in verse 11. And let me quote it. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. So God said, I will reward you according to your ways. You want to follow your ways? Have at it. But no, you're not going to escape the consequences of your ways. So you have to consider, not only has God commanded us to walk in his ways, you have to consider not only a departure from his ways is wickedness and sin, but thirdly, you have to consider that when we do depart from his ways, we bring judgment and destruction upon ourselves. Fourthly, you need to consider that the ways of the Lord are right and true ways and lead to obedience and holiness. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was sent before Christ to prepare his ways. And Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, said this in Luke 1 and verse 76, And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Wow. Well, how did John the Baptist prepare our Lord's ways? Well, John prepared his ways by preparing a people to receive his ways. You remember what John did? He preached repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when the Pharisees came to John's baptism, he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So he preached repentance, a turning from sin unto God. Thus, what he is saying is this, God's ways demand repentance and faith and obedience. And what John was doing, he was teaching that men should turn from their ways and turn to God's ways and thus conform to his word. David, a man after God's own heart, prayed in Psalm 25 and verse 4, Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Have you ever asked God to show you his ways? Now let me tell you something. Wherever there is a desire for holiness and obedience, there will be a desire to know God's ways. It is absolutely impossible for you to be holy and obedient without knowing the ways of God. Let me make a statement, and then I'm going to back it up with Scripture. Here it is. An ignorant man will never be a holy man. Now, I'm not talking about ignorance of the things of the world, but I am talking about ignorance of God and His ways. You can have 40 PhDs behind your name. You can be the most brilliant man on earth. But if you're ignorant of God and His ways, you will never, ever be a holy man. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. A lot of scriptures I could quote, but I think this one should be sufficient. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The last verse in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, just reading that on the surface, the way it is. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, just reading it as it is, you should put two and two together and understand that you're not growing in grace unless you're growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. If you look at verse 18, I'm going to point out a word, but grow in grace and the little English word and is from the little Greek word kai, K-A-I. And the little Greek word kai is translated several different ways in our Bibles. It is translated as and. But oftentimes it is also translated as even. So look at verse 18 with that in mind. But grow in grace even in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not growing in grace unless you're growing in knowledge. And you have to understand that if you're going to be holy, if you're going to be godly, you have to know God and you have to know His ways. Why do we err in our hearts? Why do we think the way we think? Why do we act the way we act? And the answer is because we're ignorant of God's and God's ways. So when you understand that the word even here gives greater force in verse 18, showing that you cannot possibly grow in grace unless you grow in knowledge. Now, I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Hosea. I'm going to quote or show you a verse that everyone is familiar with, but I want to show you another verse that you're not. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Look in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6. Everyone knows this verse, but look what God says. Hosea 4 verse 6. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Now, I've preached on this passage a number of times, and that is actually the Lex Talionis. Because God's law is an expression of His will for His people. Children are an expression of our will. So God says, if you forget my will, I'll forget your will. It's just that simple. But notice, if you would, He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And because we have rejected knowledge, that is the knowledge of God and His ways, then God rejects us. Now, skip down to verse 9. Chapter 14 it is. Hosea 14 and verse 9. That's what I want. Hosea 14, look in verse 9. Hosea 14, verse 9. Look what God asks. "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? prudent, and he shall know them. Are you looking? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Notice, if you would, the ways of the Lord are right. Now, I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Major prophet, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And notice, if you would please, verse 3. And again, I want you to see the connection between knowledge and obedience. Okay? Knowledge and obedience. And the ways of the Lord. Notice, if you would please, Isaiah chapter 2. And look, if you would, at verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Note, if you would, please, the Lord will teach us of his ways. You can't know his ways without having his knowledge. He'll teach us his ways, and after that we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, turn right over in your Bibles to Isaiah 35 and look at verse 8. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. I told you that the ways of the Lord are right ways, and they lead to obedience and holiness. So in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, God says this, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. But note, if you would, the highway is called a highway of holiness. So you have to consider then that the ways of the Lord will always lead to obedience. And obedience will always lead to holiness. Now here's the fifth thing today. I want you to consider that the ways of the Lord are blessed and rejoicing ways. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to look at a number of passages here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look, if you would, at verse 16, Deuteronomy 30, and verse 16. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. Look what he said. In fact, we can read verse 15 in light of it. He says, see, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Now, how did God set before them life and good and death and evil? Watch verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So life and death, good and evil, are defined here by either walking in God's ways or refusing to walk in God's ways. Now, if you're going to be blessed, then you're going to have to walk in his ways. You know, it is difficult for some to grasp the simple fact that obedience to God's ways is for our good. It's not harming us. It's not hurting us. It is for our good. For instance, go back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5. And look, if you would, at verse 33. Deuteronomy 5, verse 33. Watch carefully. Deuteronomy 5, verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. Why? Why would I want to walk in God's ways? That you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Well, I don't know about you, but I like life. And I want to live a good life, a long life, a healthy life. God says, this is why I'm telling you, walk in my ways. It's for your good. It's not just for my honor and my glory. It's for your good. Skipped over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verses 24 and 25. I love these passages. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24 and 25. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Watch, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, why did God command us to be faithful to our mates, our spouses? The answer is for our good. Why did God command us not to steal? For our good. Why did God command us not to kill or to murder or to take life unlawfully? For our good. Everything that God commands us is for our good. Why does he command us to be obedient? The answer is for our good. Turn right over to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and look at verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Again he says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Listen to what God says. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. God said, if you want things to go well with thee, and well with thy children after thee, you better follow my ways. Even David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 128 in verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Who is the blessed man? The man who walks in his ways. He said in Psalm 138 in verse 5, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of our God. Now, listen carefully. We have to comprehend one important truth, and that is this. That obedience to God not only brings blessings, it is true liberty. Wow. You know, we never consider the liberty and the freedom that was originally in this country came from God and fearing him and obeying his word. I want you to turn to the book of James chapter 2. Hebrews James. Look in James chapter 2 if you would. And as you're turning there, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. James chapter 2. Many individuals tend to think that God's law brings bondage. That is not true. God's law is liberty. Sin is bondage. The flesh is bondage. The world is bondage. God's law is liberty. Now I want you to look in James chapter 2, and let's begin reading there with verse 8. James 2, verse 8. But if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now, interestingly, when you go back to verse 8, God's law is called the royal law. Why is it called a royal law? The answer is because it proceeds from the King of Kings. He's issued it. He's given it. But note, if you would please, in verse 11, it is also called the law of liberty. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about all of the nations and all the societies that are not based upon God and His law. And in every one of those societies and every one of those nations, there's tyranny. You can think the same thing about the home. You can think the same thing about the church. True liberty is only found in God and His law. Liberty is not the ability to do as I please. That is licentiousness. Liberty is the ability to do as I should and as I ought. And that is real, genuine freedom. And we find when we obey God's ways, there's liberty and freedom. You know, I never will forget when I went to the university, there were a lot of rules and regulations. And I heard of a lot of young people who were chafing under the bit, you know, boy, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, I never had a problem with any of the rules and regulations. And the reason I didn't have a problem is I wanted to do what was right anyhow. I didn't want to do what's wrong. Do you realize rules and regulations do not bother you in one sense of the word as long as you're going to do that which is right? What difference does it make? If you understand God's law, then you understand it is the law of liberty. Blessed ways, ways of rejoicing, or ways of obedience and ways of godliness. Now, let me make some applications. I want you to think with me as we talk about the considerations that we've made. What did God say in Hebrews chapter 3? He said, I was grieved with that generation. They did always err in their hearts. Why? For they had not known my ways. You remember Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he preached, no one would listen. No one would repent. No one would turn from their evil, wicked ways. And Jeremiah saw the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem. He saw his people slaughtered, enslaved, the city destroyed, society, culture gone, the temple ransacked. And Jeremiah, as he watched the destruction of Jerusalem, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40 said this, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. What? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. You know, most of us never really search and try our ways. I showed Alice some little funnies that someone had sent me. And there's a woman at the ironing board. And I think her name was Auntie Acid. You know, someone with a sharp tongue. And she said, "Remember when we were young and we wanted to leave home so we could do what we wanted to do whenever we wanted to do it just and do just as we pleased?" She said, "How's that working out for you?" Well, obviously, you don't get to do that. No. We need to really consider our ways. We need to turn to the Lord. And the wise man, when he sees judgment and destruction, turns from it. I've been reading through the book of Revelation. It's amazing. When God brings all of these judgments, the Bible says, yet they repented not. I got news for you. If I see you stick your hand in the fire and you lose a finger or two, I'm not sticking my hand in the fire. If I see you fall in a hole and can't get out, I'm going to go around that hole after I help you out, but I'm not going to walk in it. The wise man, when he sees that his ways are wicked and wrong, will turn from them. That's why Jeremiah said, "Let us search and try our ways. Look what it brought upon us. It didn't work out too good for us. So we better turn again to the Lord." In Jeremiah 26 and verse 13, God says, "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he pronounced against you." Ah, wow. So he said, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord. So we better pay attention. We better consider our ways. We better search our ways and turn again to the Lord. The second one is this. If we wish to avoid heartache and disappointment and destruction, the wise counsel of action and the wise course of action is to make sure that we do not leave or forsake the ways of the Lord to begin with. Once we know them, we cannot forsake them. How do we accomplish that? Well, there's an answer. You remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 6, the Bible says this, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord." Now, I've preached on that verse before as well. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. How did he do that? And the answer is very simple. He thought about what God demanded and what God's will was and the way that God would desire him to live and act and walk, and therefore he prepared his ways in order that he might obey. So if we want to really, truly be holy and godly, we need to prepare our ways. We need to make sure that we do not offend or dishonor our Heavenly Father. We need to consider our ways. We need to think about our actions. Here's a third one. There is an added blessing to obedience, one that we normally do not think concerning. And that is the blessing of peace. And I'm talking about not only personal peace, but peace in other areas as well. Do you remember Proverbs 16, verse 7? One of my favorite verses, and I preached on it too, Doc. Proverbs 16, verse 7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Did you hear that? When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So if we walk in God's ways, ultimately there's going to be peace. And God can even make our enemies to be at peace with us. I want you to turn to one last passage. That's the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And look, if you would please, at verses 9 and 10. Here is how you should be walking. Here is how I should be walking. Here is how every Christian should be walking. Colossians 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul is praying for these Colossian Christians, and he says this: "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Now watch this prayer request. "And desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now I want you to note, if you would please, in verse 9, he says, "We're praying that for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Watch. It requires knowledge that you might walk worthy of the Lord and unpleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and as you walk in that knowledge and in obedience and increasing in the knowledge of God, you get more knowledge as you obey that which God has given you. As I said earlier, it's impossible for an ignorant man to be a holy man. If you're going to be holy, if you're going to be godly, you must know God. And you must know His ways. And His ways are revealed in Scripture. My prayer is that God would enable us to walk in His ways. And He was grieved with this generation and said, "They do always err in their heart." Why? "Because they have not known My ways." How grievous it is for parents when children do not know their ways and dishonor them. And how much more dishonorable is it when God's children do not know His ways and will not walk in them. Make sure you know the ways of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee this day. We thank You for Your word, for Your truth. And we ask, Father, that You would indeed make us holy, make us godly, make us obedient, enable us to conform our lives to Your word. Enable us, Lord, not to grieve Thee. Enable us not to err in our hearts. Help us to know Thy ways. And as David prayed, "Show me Thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk in Thy paths." Give us, Lord, that knowledge and that understanding and that wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray.